Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
So, we're missing Chad this week, apparently. Where the hell is he?
He's in a magical land of white people called Sunnyvale.
Sunnyvale, California.
Yep. It sounds like... I told somebody that he's from Sunnyvale. They thought I was making it up. Because I was like, oh, yeah, it's where white people come from, Sunnyvale.
It sounds like something from the 50s, you know, like Pleasantville.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. That's exactly what it's... Yeah. Everybody there looks like they're from the 50s. Hey, George. Hi, Phil.
Everything's just really clean and nice, but there's some, like, really weird racial undertones.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Sunnyvale. Okay.
Kind of like the beginning of... what is that game... The one in the clouds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where everything seems perfect.
That one,
and then
you know, the
gets...
game of the year that, like, everybody played and loved and can't think of. BioShock Infinite. Yes.
Thank you.
That one. Yep. Casual racism.
Yep.
Scary.
And they're not so casual after that.
Yeah.
You know, I started over the beginning just to see the if I would have chosen the other option. You get, you know, they pull that ball out of the thing. And then You either throw it at them or you don't throw it at them or something like that. And it was the exact same difference. Like, there's no difference.
Yeah, I liked how they did that, though. They played with the moral choice system where it was completely... It didn't matter what you choose, but you got the same result. It was completely meaningless.
And speaking of moral choices, fucking shit. The world of... this war of mine. Like, how are you liking it?
I'm liking it. It is a great game. A lot of people have been praising this game and for very good reasons.
Absolutely.
Who's the developer on this one? Do we have that information? They're not a big developer. It's like an indie. I'm almost surprised that this wasn't like an early access game or something, but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it just came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we didn't see it coming down the pipe. Nobody had played this. There wasn't a preview of it. 11-bit studios, I guess, put it together. I've never heard of them before.
They are the developer and the publisher.
And the book, which usually indicates that it's very small. And I think they're foreign because it's not really a problem with it, but one of the things is it's obviously not in the United States, and it was a little bit harder to relate because, you know, none of the names seem like names that I'm familiar with or anything like that. But it was fine. Besides that, the other little thing was that the characters, a lot of them were famous. And that was kind of weird for me, too. I just thought that you could relate a little more if they're all the average guys.
You're saying the characters in the game are famous?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, one's a professional sports athlete. No, not in real life.
Oh,
but their story, their backstory.
Okay, I guess I didn't read that much into it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's one paragraph, Bobby. You can read one on each one.
I missed that paragraph.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, one's a professional sports athlete. The other one has a cooking show. One's a reporter.
Oh, okay.
And it seemed a little... But that's a very small complaint. For the most part, let's talk about what it is, I guess. It looks like Deadlight.
Yeah, it looks a lot like Deadlight. It's a 2D game, but it's also kind of in three dimensions, like a 2.5D. And you're looking at a cross-section of a house. It's like a Barbie house, almost.
It reminds XCOM.
It reminds me a lot of XCOM. It's like a diorama, I guess. But you're moving people around there, and it's a survival game. It's a crafting and survival game. You have to build stuff. You have to collect resources. You can send someone out to scavenge at night. And they build this huge story around it, too, that really ties everything together nicely. I mean, the story is going to be different every time you play, and it's just, I don't know, it really brings things together that a lot of games don't.
If you're still having a hard time picturing this, you can either look it up, or I thought of, so it looks like Deadlight. It has the character control of maybe The Sims, in a way. And it has the survival craft of kind of like DayZ, I would say.
Yeah.
With a little bit of crafting in there. Actually, a pretty good amount. And you have to decide what the best route to go in. And the route might be different depending on who you start with. Because you could have a different starting lineup every time you play.
Yeah, you start with different people, and each person has their own unique ability. That one person may be good at cooking, another person may be good at bargaining, but you start with three people, and then you've got to choose, okay, this person can sleep right now, this person is going to go scavenge, this person is going to go cook. You give them tasks to do around the house, and then at the end of the day is when some people can sleep, some people can scavenge. I really like the fact that this game is about war, though, like present day war. Like, this could be going on right now.
Right.
And it makes
to me, it was Bosnia in the 90s.
Yeah, like Bosnia. That's really what it feels like. But that makes it so much more relatable and realistic. I mean, because this is not about space aliens or fucking zombies, thank God. Like, that would have just killed it for me. I play this game sometimes and I forget that it's about war. And I go like, I keep expecting like a zombie to pop out, because that's what this feels like. And we've just been oversaturated with zombies lately.
Do you have a radio? Have you built a radio?
Yeah.
And yeah, you get the radio reports and they change from day to day. Sometimes they don't change. Mm-hmm. And it keeps you, you know, it makes you feel like an ongoing war is going on. Fuck, man, I really enjoy this game. I think it's really good. I love the name. Because it's this war of mine. And it's such an apt name, because it's not your war, obviously, but you're thrust into it because it's going on around you. You know what I mean? You're not the politicians. You're not a soldier. But you have to deal with it just as much as they do.
Yeah, so you're civilians that are caught in the crossfire.
Yeah. The pencil sketching thing. Did you change the filter at all?
No, I kept the original filter.
So did I. But you can put it to the heavy filter. All that makes it do is make it the background move a little bit more. It was kind of, I don't know, the original filter is the way to go. It's really brooding and very bleak, but I feel like it gives you enough hope to keep you going. You know what I mean? Like, enough good things happen to make me want to keep playing, but ultimately, everybody's going to die. You haven't beat the game, right? Can you beat the game?
Yeah. Yeah, you can survive. I think, I don't know, I was trying to figure this out a little bit earlier today, and I want to say the end's around maybe 41 games. I could be completely wrong
41
here.
Days.
41 days, okay. Yeah. But based on some screenshots that I saw in like 2 seconds of internet research, that's my conclusion. Right. I'm currently on like day 21, I think.
I think that's as far as I've gone, but also when I get to a certain point where everybody's starving and like... I just can't continue, man. It gets too depressing for me. And my biggest complaint about this game, I would say, is not a slight on it at all. It's like saying Doom 3 is too scary. That's what they were aiming for. These people are aiming for a very bleak, warlike situation. And they nailed it so much so that I have a hard time playing it at a certain point. Yeah. I have a really good time when everything's going good and stuff. And then when shit starts getting... somebody described it as... This game will make you hate yourself, because once you get your characters get desperate, you have to go do desperate things and hurt other people. And even though they're just, it's funny because I feel like there's fucking a bunch of 15-year-olds that can just go into games and just slaughter a bunch of people. I can't do that kind of stuff because I don't know. I feel empathy for made up characters, I guess. But
well, if it's just random characters that there's really no context to,
yeah, who cares, right?
Yeah,
the Grand Theft Auto, I could destroy.
Yeah, you can run people over, and it doesn't really matter. But in a game like this, they really build up the characters, and you develop a relationship with them. But someone, I think it was Stoner Smurf, was saying, I was talking to him about this game, and he was a little annoyed that you couldn't really beat the game unless you turn into a bad guy, unless you turn into a bandit, you rob people, or you kill people. And I don't know.
Isn't that realistic, though, in these dire straits?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, maybe there is a way that you can do it, but it makes it very, very difficult. A lot like Papers, Please, where you can play it by the rule book,
right?
But it's going to make it a lot more difficult. Or you can kind of bend the rules a little bit, but there's a little bit of a risk. So, I don't know. That's an interesting take on the game.
It was like my first game, and I would say, I don't know how long I was into it, but, you know, this lady comes to the door, and she's like, hey, there's some people buried in rubble. Will you help me come pull them out? And I'm like, I thought about it logically, and I'm like, okay, those people that we pull out are going to be so fucked up. healthy people are having had enough time surviving. And I'm really thinking this through, even though that I know that I'm not going to have to deal with these people. But I'm trying to put it in a real life situation. Mm-hmm. I'm like, sorry, I can't help you, you know. Yeah. But everybody else that comes to the door, I usually help. But I'm sure that could go sideways as well.
Yeah, it's a grim reality. When my first game, I was out scavenging and I came across a girl and she was being confronted by like a soldier who was, I don't know, probably going to rape her or something. Who knows what terrible thing. But I tried to intervene and save her and he ended up just shooting me and killing me. So.
Exact same thing happened to me.
Yeah.
Probably my fifth game though.
Yeah, so I do feel like they... They've really like pushed the whole harsh reality thing on you in this game. And like being a nice guy, it does not pay off. Nice guys finish last in this game.
I feel like you might be able to play as a nice guy, but you're going to end up with one person left. There's just not enough food.
Well, you know what? At the same time, though, when you do things like that, like when I robbed some old lady, because I played a game where I was just like, screw it. I'm just going to do whatever I got to do to survive. And I robbed some old lady. And then when the guy that I was playing came back, Pablo, I think it was, he was really depressed about it. And he was having a lot of issues with it. And that kind of affected his ability. And there's a punishment to it. There's a downside.
Yeah, for sure. Have you had to console anybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if someone's extremely depressed, then you have to get someone else to console them, talk with them for quite a bit of time.
They won't do anything.
Yeah.
And you need that time. And it'll say that they're broken. Have you got to that point? Just broken. Not depressed, but broken.
No.
And that, I could not get her back up. She was just done.
Wow.
She's like done with, oh, dude, it's so depressing. I'm like, okay, I need to go kill demons and die in the rise.
I've got a pretty good run right now with my group on 21 days. I've had two people die already, but they've been replaced. I've still got three people, good amount of food. It's looking pretty good, but I haven't been able to build any guns yet. I have a feeling that that's going to become a necessity, building guns and instead of scavenging, actually raiding and shooting soldiers so you can get better access to these areas that you can scavenge.
Yeah, somehow I have no moral dilemma with killing thugs, you know?
Yeah.
So I had guns. My last run, I had a shotgun and a pistol. So I'm like, I'm just going to go in there and kill these motherfuckers and take all their shit because it said lots of food and that was my biggest problem. So my first guy that I didn't really like very much, Bruno, he's the chef and mm-hmm. he's always bitching about cigarettes. I'm like, fuck you and your cigarettes. Send him in there, right? Send him in there. He shoots the first guy. They hear the gunshots. Everybody comes, kills him.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I got to go get that gun back. It's too important. And I sent the girl with the shotgun. She gets killed. So now both my guns are over there sitting there. I'm like, fuck, this game's a wash. I already lost everything. My people are starving. Have you been very hungry yet?
Yeah,
very hungry. And they kind of crawl around.
Yeah, it affects their movement.
Yeah, the empathy that I build for my characters is pretty strong. Stronger than most games. Maybe, yeah, I can't think of another game that I've had more empathy for my own character.
Yeah, it's a difficult game, too. Like, it's not easy to beat this game. And it's kind of a pain when you have to start over again. It takes quite a bit of time. I think I've got 4 or 5 hours on this game so far, which isn't a lot. But that's really only 3 games for me.
Yeah. I can't say enough good things. They really nailed everything that looked like they were trying to do. It's kind of annoying that you can't really scavenge as much as you would like to. They can't carry very much.
Yeah.
Like I played one game where there was so much at the first grocery store that you go to. I went back like 8 nights in a row just to try to clear that place out. Meanwhile, things are going to shit back at the house. So, but it's done well. Like I can't say that's a slight on it.
Yeah. It's got that same feel as Papers, Please. Again, I bring that comparison up because it just has that feeling of overwhelming odds.
Did you beat that game?
Papers, Please? No.
No. Okay.
No. It feels like you just cannot accomplish everything that you want to. There's not enough room in your inventory. You don't have enough people. There's not enough food. It's just like all these things.
It's always something.
Going on. Yeah.
My best run, I had everything except for gears. I just could not find gears anywhere. And gears are needed for a lot of things.
Now, this game's going for $19.99. The reviews have been really, really positive on Steam. And I think it got an 82 on Metacritic.
Yeah.
Metacritic.
I would have gave it more, but you know me.
I'm surprised it was that low, yeah. But I don't know. 82, I said this back when Wolfenstein came out. They gave Wolfenstein an 82. 82 is like the safe bet. You can't be criticized for giving a game 82. if you give it something higher, then people think you're praising it too much. If you give it something lower, then people start to question, like, it's not that bad. But 82 is a safe rating, I think.
So I'm glad that you brought up the $20. I am currently in a shitty situation where my, well, right now my PC is in my car. But yeah, I had to move out because there's constructions around my house for a week. So anyway, I have no internet. And I had no choice but to torrent this game. But I was glad to see that you they put out a free version for the torrent. Actually, it's the exact game. The developers themselves just put it on the Pirate Bay.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and they were just like, hey, if you were planning on torrenting this, here, just do it guilt-free. And I thought that was a really interesting move. It's kind of like when... what was that? I can name the album, but I can't name the band. Kid A. That's...
The album was called Kid A?
Yeah, I believe so. God damn it.
Yeah, anyway, I don't know.
So they gave out their...
Radiohead?
Yeah, Radiohead. Okay. They gave out their album for free. And... oh, no, it was Pay What You Want.
Yeah, Pay What You Want.
Yeah, and...
did that work out for them?
I don't believe so.
I think that backfired on them.
Yeah, well, not crazy. They ended up making less than they would have had they gone the studio route, is the end thing. But, you know, they didn't do it again, and nobody followed suit, so yeah, apparently it didn't work out. But at the end of the day, the people that are going to torrent are going to torrent. So I don't know if giving them free license to do it without guilt is the way to do it. Because I kind of feel that if you do that, some of the people that were going to pay aren't going to pay just for that. Just because you said it was okay.
It's possible. It's definitely possible. But, you know, we talked a lot about piracy in past episodes. And I feel like we've said it so many times. But it's not about a product anymore. It's about a service. You know, that's what it comes down to. If you get the game on Steam, it's always in your library. You can easily download it, update it, patch it, you right. can it stores your achievements, you know, there's a lot of different things that you're getting other than the actual game itself. I feel less motivated to play a game that I pirated. Like, I don't want to invest the time and then have to manually back up my saves and how and like deal with all that stuff if I pirated a game. Like, if it's on Steam, then it's like, okay, then I can invest in this game.
Now, did you pay for this?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so I didn't even get the option to. Like, this week, I had to do it on a friend's computer, put it on a memory stick, bring it to my computer. It was the only way that I knew that I could do this.
Damn, old school. And this game is only like 800 megs.
Yeah, it was really small. I was really surprised how fast.
Less than a gig.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess if you're not sure if you like a game like this or you haven't played any game like this, I would suggest go get the torrent. And if you really like it, give them $20. Because it's definitely worth the $20.
Yeah, and because they put it out there for free, this will definitely be on sale at some point. Like, yeah. Especially with the winter sale coming up. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw this at half price or drastically reduced.
And speaking of the winter sale, PayPal said that they have the exact date that I think it said like in 5 days or something.
Yeah, this happened before with the, I think with the summer sale.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's some information leaks because Steam has to let some people know
right.
some details about this, and then you can determine the date that it'll actually happen. I don't really get too caught up with that because I'm just like, you know, it's going to happen like right after Christmas, around New Year's, you know? I'm not like...
And you already own everything.
Yeah, I'm not chomping at the bit, you know?
So that's one end of the spectrum of how to deal with piracy, just give your game away. The other end, I thought this was very clever, the Far Cry 4 developers. Did you hear anything about this, how they did this, Bob?
No.
Okay, so I guess there was a field of view issue, and a lot of people were complaining about it on the forums and like writing in to Ubisoft and stuff. And he sent out a tweet, the main developer, I forget his name, but he said, hey, if you're having these issues, it's because you're on a pirated copy. They had on purpose put in a bug or an issue. This is what it says. PC players, if you're online complaining about the lack of FOV control, you pirated the game. So, I mean...
That's funny.
It's pretty awesome, right? I like both I like both ways to handle piracy. I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often, honestly, where they put out a shitty version.
Yeah. That is hilarious. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that at all. The field of view, for those of you who don't know, is just kind of how wide, like if you have a widescreen monitor, then the field of view will help you out a lot more. It's how much of the screen you can see. And sometimes people get a little motion sickness when it's fairly narrow, like say below 85. But most PC gamers on a widescreen prefer it like well above 90.
So... yeah, you know, I salute both ways. I like both of them. You really shut down all the complaints on that one, right?
Yeah. Situation handled. That's funny, coming from Ubisoft. They had two big releases, Assassin's Creed Unity and Far Cry 4.
Yeah, Unity didn't get the best reception, correct?
Nah, well...
I can't speak on it more than this, that.
There were some technical issues with the release, and... I kind of like how they released the game just assuming people were going to have really high-end hardware. And some people complain that they're really, you know, they should have made it more suited for middle-of-the-road rigs. But I don't know. I feel like it's been a while since we've had a game that really pushed the envelope. It's been a while since we had, like, Crysis where nobody could run it. And, you know, graphics cards had to come up with something... Our graphics cards companies had to come up with something better so we could play these games.
I agree. Somebody needs to be pushing the envelope constantly in every direction.
Yeah, I had a bunch of glitches too. Like there's that one that they're showing on Assassin's Creed Unity where it's got no face and you just see the eyes bulging out. I had similar issues with Black Flag when I first got it. If you look at my screenshots, you can see that I've got one where everybody's eyes would glow random colors. It was really weird. I thought it was part of the game at first. Yeah, isn't that horrifying? Albert's showing us the Assassin's Creed Unity one.
Can you email me that? I'm going to concentrate on it later for reasons.
Straight up Beetlejuice. But the issue that I had, that would happen to boats.
Oh, so weird.
Yeah, that would happen to boats in Black Flag for me.
Yeah.
And also, players' eyes would just glow like blue or green or red.
Characters' eyes.
Yeah, the characters in the games. Really, really strange stuff.
So, Bobby, you played the game of the year, huh?
Yeah, the game of the year.
Cool. How was that? I honestly, before I saw the show notes, I was like, oh, he's going to announce our Game of the Year video.
Nope, not yet. No, this game, it was submitted. They're doing that 7-day FPS challenge where you make a game in 7 days. And
Has to be a first-person shooter?
Yeah, has to be a first-person shooter. For this one, I'm sure they have other ones.
Right.
But, yeah, for the Indie Game Jam, or I think, yeah, what 7-day FPS Game Jam is the official thing. You can check out the website. Created by Andy Sum. The title of the game is Game of the Year 420 Blaze It versus XXX Illuminati XXX WoW out of 10 # Wrecked Edition montage parodied the game. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so now that you read all that, I skim things. I don't really read. That's why I'm so dumb. I love how I thought that those were at least four different games up there you were going to talk about. I didn't know that was one game. Why'd you type that whole thing out? I guess you could
copy paste, bro. It's Control C, Control V.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
nice.
Control C is the copy, and then Control V is the paste.
Cool.
Pro tip. But yeah, this game is hilarious. I guess the guy made it in 7 days. It's a first-person shooter where you have to munch down Doritos and drink Mountain Dew and just shoot up a bunch of people. And every time you shoot somebody, like some random GIF from like Reddit pops up, just all the ones are in there. And the whole time you're doing this, they're just like blasting dubstep at like maximum volume.
There's no volume here, and it's already almost like too much for the senses.
Oh yeah, it's totally sensory overload. The game itself is like 10 minutes long, but it's just playing off a lot of internet jokes
It's good for exactly what it is, right?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Did it win?
I don't know.
Can you win these game jams?
I'm sure you can. I don't know if they... I checked the website like a few days ago. I don't know if they had a winner posted or anything, but... No, I've heard of this competition before, but never really followed it too closely.
Somebody, I don't know if anything came up about it, but Cliffy B, it was either a link or an idea where developers get together and do a game jam about games, a genre that they hate. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I don't know if anything ever came about it, but these game jams are pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a lot of strange stuff that come out of them, and this is...
And maybe ideas for really good things, right? I think Meat Boy maybe was product of something.
I don't think so.
I want to say there's something that...
Something
became big
that came out of this?
Yeah, of one of these game jams.
Yeah, that's whatever.
Possible. I might be making
You know what? I think Receiver came out of this, like, years ago. A game called Receiver where I think you deconstruct and reconstruct a gun. I haven't even played it, but it looked really interesting. I don't know. I could be wrong on that. But, yeah, so that's that. 10 minutes. You can download this game for free. Just Google, like, Game of the Year 420 Blaze It, and it'll come right up.
So it doesn't look quite as good as Call of Duty. I played a bunch of that. I actually finished it. I mean, I don't think I've been able to say that I finished the game in quite some fucking time. I'm sorry, the whole title is Advanced Warfare. I don't know why I have to say it. But anyway, here's a couple of notes that I've written down about it. So one of the biggest problems is it's very hard to designate between enemy and friends. I shot my own dudes a lot of times. And as far as the AI goes, a lot of the times they're facing the wrong direction. So in a game where you're having a hard time designating who's who, if they're facing the wrong way, that makes it even worse.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
Like, we're coming up on enemies and they're facing the way I'm facing, and I'm like, what? So I shoot them, or I don't shoot them, and they turn around and shoot me. I played this game on hard, and it was significantly difficult. I want to say that I finished the game in about 6 hours or so. That's a guess.
They don't have very long games.
No.
Like, all Call of Duties are like 6 to 8 hours.
And it was just, you know, it's getting mixed reviews or whatever. I really enjoyed it. I talked about last week why it might have just hit a niche that I needed to be filled.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the real hero in this game is the lighting. The lighting in this game gets things to the point where it flirts with photorealism. There's times where I'm like, wow, multiple times where I'm like, wow, that looks real. Or just for a second, you're like, oh, that looks real. It's kind of like one of those games where you're watching the pre-rendered graphics on the car races, you know, and they always look real. You know, those these high-end car racing games, you're like, oh, fuck, that looks photorealistic.
Yeah.
They do this with faces sometimes. It's not even the polys or the rendering. It's the lighting. The EMBs in Skyrim, we've talked about this before, it makes an old game, if you do the right things with the lighting, it could do a lot. It's not about the polys or how much processing or anything like that. If you light something perfectly, it can look beautiful. And that's really where the secret in this game is. They really did a great job. Best lighting I've ever seen, really.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good looking game. And I think the problem with Call of Duty is that every year one comes out, and if you consistently play too many, then you just get bored of it.
Yeah.
But if you haven't played a Call of Duty in forever, then this is going to be great for you. I think we touched on that last
week. Yeah, we did. Yeah. And I forgot to mention that I played Black Ops 2, and I really enjoyed that. I didn't enjoy it as much as this. But, yeah, it was really good.
See, I like Black Ops 2, but I didn't really like Ghosts.
I never played Ghosts.
I got bored with Ghosts
pretty
quick.
What was the story behind Ghosts? Or is it even worth mentioning?
No. Okay. It's not.
Yeah, cool.
Not worth getting into right now.
Yeah. So I also played a very little bit of Far Cry 4. Just pretty much the intro and the first 5 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the voice actor that plays the main bad guy. You meet him right away. And you get introduced to him, and the voice acting on him, he's, you know, he's one of these guys where he's a subtle, but obviously psychotic, mm-hmm. you know, is not overplayed. That really stood out to me, but I'm really looking forward to getting into that. Are you going to pick it up?
At some point. I think I'm going to wait till the winter sale on this one because I don't want to pay full price for it.
Dude, do you think it's going to be on the winter sale?
Oh, yeah. Huh. Last winter, I bought the new Assassin's Creed and the new Call of Duty during the winter sale.
Let's say that, let's just say that I'm having field of view options or problems. Because I've been offline.
Oh, wow. I'm watching some of the gameplay here. The graphics look great on this. I don't know why, but Far Cry always looks amazing to me. I think it's that lush jungle. I was talking to someone the other day, and I was telling them that Blood Dragon, one of my top five games, love that game. And they were saying, oh, I heard that one was shit. And I mean, I understand, like, it's one of my favorite games because it's got everything that I love
in it. Yeah.
So maybe I'm a little biased, but that it was pretty much a reskinned Far Cry 3. Which was an amazing game.
Right. And they just said that there's not going to be any Blood Dragon follow-up, I believe.
I'm okay with that. We don't need to beat a dead horse here. Blood Dragon was great. Let's leave it at that. But I loved Far Cry 1, too. When that game came out, I downloaded and played the demo, and that game came out, and I fucking loved it. But I never played 2, ever. Like, I haven't even
tried. That's the one in Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did play it. It was a lot of the same. I feel like the difference between 2 and 3 was a lot bigger than between 1 and 2.
1 was a lot more linear.
Wait, I'm sorry, I never played 1. That was the one on the island, right?
Yeah, you were that dude in the red shirt.
I did play it. Not much, though.
Okay, yeah. That one was really, really linear, and I think 2 is when they went open world. And that's kind of when 3D was becoming big, so Far Cry 2 worked really well with the NVIDIA 3D Vision, and they were advertising that. But
I do like that it has the same, you know, they're not pigeonholing themselves with the same character that just have, you know, they each have their own character in their own setting.
It's a whole new story.
Yeah.
But do you think that this the bad guy in this, what's his name, Pagan?
Yeah, something weird like that.
Do you think he's too similar to Voss, just like crazy, eccentric, bad guy, villain?
I haven't got that much into it that I would know.
Pagan Min.
You know what? Now that you say it, I guess you must have read something like that, right? Because, yeah, they are pretty similar now that I'm thinking about it.
Well, just from watching the trailer, I'm like, okay, it's pretty much the same deal. You got...
This guy seems more flamboyant.
Yeah. He seems like a little more posh almost, you know?
Yeah. He's on... You know, he shows you pictures of him on the money of Kirat, which is a fake country that he rules or whatever. He's like, that's me. That's me. That's me. He's like showing you pictures of himself on money.
Yeah. No, I definitely want to play this game. This is, I love the Far Cry series, and I can't wait to pick this one up, and it'll happen sooner or later.
So, like I said, I've been offline for a whole week. I have a couple more days. It's fucking killing me. So, that's terrible. I can only either play a mouse game or a controller game, or a keyboard game. But not mouse and keyboard. I'm literally playing on a nightstand when I have, like I said, my PC's in my car right now, so I have no gaming. But when I do, I'm on a nightstand, and it's fucking horrible. Anyway, I put in, I don't know, 20 hours of Binding of Isaac this week.
Right.
I fucking love that game. I wouldn't have put in that time had I had, you know, I would have been playing Far Cry 4. But like I said, I can't do mouse and keyboard, so... what can I say that I haven't said already? I'm doing a bunch of the challenges, passed all those. It just keeps getting fresher and fresher. I keep seeing things.
Have you beaten the game?
Oh, plenty of times.
Okay.
But the more you play it, the harder it gets, the more that's unlocked.
Okay.
It's kind of like when, I don't know, you get to a certain point, they just move the goal further. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got to start over.
Is there ever an end to it?
Yeah, shoot, I don't know. No, not really.
I've played so little Binding of Isaac. It's crazy.
Did you pick up the new one?
No, not yet.
Why would you? You never played the first one.
Yeah, but I have not put enough time into the first one. I think it's because you and Chad talk about it so much that feel like you got it covered, but
yeah. I do want to announce, so that I'll make sure that I do it, I'm working on a guide on how to beat Binding of Isaac as much as you can, or do as well as you can.
Albert's calling you out, man.
Yeah, he's calling Emilio's broken dreams. So we'll see.
We'll see. Broken promises. Just in time.
It's going to be a very quick one. Just little tips and tricks, because they're really, you can't do a walkthrough because every game is completely different. So just little tricks that I use to get ahead.
Yeah. All right. Well, I did something new this week.
You scroll down a little bit, Hubby. Yep, go ahead.
I played a visual novel, which I had never played before, and I had heard about, and I don't think I liked it. I didn't like it, but I'm wondering if the game that I played was truly representative of visual novels.
Whoa, what's not to like?
Yes.
I'm seeing shiny titties for days. Titties!
I played Sakura Spirit, and as I played this, many people messaged me, like, oh, you're playing that game? Ah, all right. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Some guy even asked me, he's like, you know that game's 18 plus, right? Are you old enough to play that? And I think this dude might have been serious. I'm like, yeah, bro, I'm old enough. I've seen some shit. Like, I can handle it.
I was back in Nam. What the fuck? I've seen some shit.
This game is, it's a visual novel, so all you're doing is clicking through dialogue. That is it. There is one point in the game.
Well, and there's art.
Yeah, and there's art. And there's sprites, but very little.
Not bad art, you know what I'm saying?
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah, but, I mean, it's pretty much just selling itself to, like, teenagers hitting puberty. The dialogue, the story, it's awful. It's like porn, pretty much.
Okay.
Without the sex. It's like super cheesy.
Porn without the sex.
Yeah, let me describe a scenario. Like, everything is just super, super cheesy. Like, it's like the dude showing up to your place, like, did somebody order a sausage pizza? And then they cut out the whole sex part.
Right.
Like, it's really bad. There's one scene where you have to clean a bathtub, an outdoor bathtub, with this girl. And you and her start play fighting, and she knocks you into her sister, and you knock her into the bathtub. And her sister gets all mad, like, oh, dang, you knocked me into the bathtub. Now we got to fight. And she's all, like, sopping wet and shit, you know, T-shirts see-through.
Go on.
So then you start fighting, and, you know, you pull some move on her, and it, like, makes her shirt come off.
But this is all dialogue.
Yeah, the dialogue's happening the entire time.
Okay.
So, yeah, now her shirt comes off, and she's paralyzed because she's very insecure about her body. But then she feels that maybe if I show you my naked body, then you will help me overcome my fears. So just about right before you're about to help her.
Wait, is she naked while she's saying this? Do you see a picture of her naked?
She's covering herself up.
Okay.
They show, like, a ton of boob, no nipple.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's that kind of deal.
The worst kind of deal.
Yeah. But then right before anything happens, like, someone else, like, bumps in and says, oh, and, like, spoils the moment, you know? And that happens every single time. So it's pretty much that situation.
It's flirting with sexiness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Porn without sex, man. That's like dealing with the pizza guy, dealing with the pizza box with no pizza in the fucking pizza box. Having to pay. That was a shitty analogy.
That was an analogy of an analogy.
Yeah.
I was using your spot on the first time for this.
Gotcha.
And then you had to go, like,
well, I'm fucking, you know, you broke my heart. You said the words, like, porn, sex without porn. I'm like, oh, jeez. Or the other way around. It's terrible. I'm sitting here. I'm like, oh, this sounds like the worst thing ever.
Well, this game went on for about 2 hours. There was one point in this game where you had to make a decision, like, where it asked you do this or do that. And it had no bearing at all on the story. Pretty much it was saying,
how do you know?
Because I did both options. I went back and did the other one. And if you chose the other option, then you saw the other girls half naked instead of the weird-looking fox girls with the ears and the tail coming out.
Meanwhile, very positive, 81.
This got an 81? Oh, on user reviews. But if you read the Steam user reviews, I think some of them are a little...
trolly?
Yeah. I don't know what this got on Metacritic, if they even rated it. It's barely a game. really. It's a visual novel. I'm hoping, like, maybe a listener will say, like, hey, you know what? Give visual novels a chance. Here's a good one. Maybe suggest, like, a decent one. I don't know.
How many are there out there? I've never even heard of this genre.
It's a pretty big genre.
Huh.
Yeah, there's quite a few. I was kind of expecting something more along the lines of Phoenix Wright. I've never played those games, but a lot of people have told me they're good. I think it's on, like, the Nintendo DS. It's not a PC game.
I see.
But there's a little more interaction in that game. You know, you as the player have a little more agency. In this, you're just flipping through pages, basically.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, that was my horrible venture into visual novels. I'm not a big anime fan either. Do you like anime?
I liked it when I was younger, more. I feel, and it's not even like a thing where, oh, that's made for teenagers, although it is, I feel. But I feel like the quality's gone down. Anytime I see anything new, it really pales into comparison. I feel like the Japanese kind of got more into making serialized stuff for TV shows, and the quality just went way down as far as, like, instead of making their cinematic, really grand.
Yeah.
You know, Ninja Scroll is probably, yeah, not Ninja Squirrel. Scroll. Ninja Scroll is so fucking good. I've never seen anything come even close. Well,
that's old. When did that movie come out, Ninja Scroll? That's like 90s? 90s?
Yeah.
And see, the anime that I remember that I liked was like from the 90s, like, right. Like Vampire Hunter D.
Yeah. All that stuff was killer. I wonder if there's Japanese guys sitting in Japan saying the same thing. Like, those were the good old days of anime. You know?
I don't know. I think it's just maybe I was more open to that stuff when I was younger. I missed the Pokemon phase. I was a little too old for Pokemon when it came out. Yeah. So, and like Yu-Gi-Oh! But and all that
again,
shit. Naruto.
So, remember, so those are all serialized TV shows type thing. So mm-hmm. The art needs to come down because they can't focus as much. If you go to the cinematic, what we're talking about, Vampire Hunter D, mm-hmm. all this stuff, these are actual movies, you know, films. And so they could really work on the art.
Yeah.
'Cause animation, you really need to focus on the art, I think, to really pull off these crazy ideas that you're trying to convey. Although I like that there's a dark girl, white girl, and a ginger.
Well, they got two pairs of girls. Two of them are like half fox. They're like fox spirits. Those are the two on the right. And then the other two are the humans. Cool. And, like, not to get all Gamersgate here, but, like, this shit was straight up, like, misogynistic. Like, these girls are constantly, like, pawing at you and, like, trying to, like, cook for you and, like, trying to be, like fighting for your attention. It was, like, pretty bad, man. Like, it was weird.
Well, it's obviously the Japanese, right?
Mm-hmm. But I think this is made for, like, 15-year-old dudes, like, who don't have access to the internet or something. I don't know. I was very confused. So, yeah, that was my venture into that. I was gone a lot last week, too.
Yeah, were you playing games? Or did you not play anything the entire time?
Well, I was on a plane, so my
plan... For a whole week?
No. Well, I didn't really have access. I was out in Indiana for a little while.
Okay.
And
long plane... the internet out there, buddy.
Yeah, but I didn't... I was staying at a friend's house.
And, I got you.
Yeah. Although he does have Steam installed. We could have played something, but now we're doing other shit. But on the plane ride out there, I played some games. Loaded up an SNES emulator, played a little Earthbound. But I also played a little bit of Skulls of the Shogun. And I wanted to point something out. I didn't play a whole lot of this game. And it was a decent game. It's a very simple strategy game.
Is this an SNES game?
No.
Okay.
No, this is a PC game.
Okay.
But what I wanted to point out was Humble Bundle. I buy a lot of stuff off of there, and I'm sure a lot of other people do too. But if you buy something off of Humble Bundle, a lot of those games are available on your phone, if you have an Android phone. I don't know about an iPhone.
Oh, yeah. It's like unlocked on both.
Yeah, exactly.
Devices. Yeah.
So I just downloaded the Humble Bundle app, and all the games that I had got were on there, and I just installed like a couple of them.
I'm doing that tonight.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Ton of them on there. And what's cool is even if, say, like I got I gifted the Steam copy of the game to somebody else, I still have the Android copy to play. So Skulls of the Shogun was one of these games where I had gifted the Steam copy to somebody else because I already had it. But I was able to download it on my phone and play it.
And it looks pretty simple.
It's a very simple strategy game. I didn't make it too far into the game, so maybe it gets a little more complex. But it was fun. I mean, they start you off slow and they show you like the basics, and then they give you more units. It gets a little more complex, and it's a good game, and I like the animation. It was fun. It was humorous.
Yeah, it looks cutesy, and yeah, I like the art style.
Yeah. Now, while I was out there in Indiana, I was talking to this dude, and we got on the topic of Clash of Clans, which I've never played, but apparently...
It's huge.
Yeah, dude. Apparently, it's fucking giant, yeah. Man. Like, everybody... And as soon as we started talking about it, other people were like, oh, yeah, yeah, and they pulled out their phones, and they started showing, like, their clan, I guess.
It's the new Farmville.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those freemium games, right?
And just an off-topic, or on-topic, but... I guess iTunes won't let them call them free-to-play anymore. They're changing the name of all these games.
What are they going to call it?
I don't know. I haven't seen what the new thing is, but
yeah
catch, you know, all these money grab games.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy because, like, I asked the dude, I was like, how much money do you think you've spent on this game? He's like, shit, probably like $1,000 this year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. It was, it was nuts. And then another guy, like, his phone broke. And he got a new phone and he lost all his shit. And he said he was like every day emails back and forth with the developer or the the publisher, like trying to get like all his shit back because he had invested so much money in it. So yeah, apparently like that's the real deal. A lot of people, like I had seen the graphic. I recognized the graphics right away. Oh, it's that game, you know?
Yeah.
I'd seen it in advertisements and stuff.
Did you try it?
No, I have no interest in
that. Yeah, neither do I.
I don't know. Not to get all high and mighty, but...
It's not even about that, man. Any kind of these freemium games that... Is it us that we kind of feel like we know that what they are? I mean, obviously it's good, but it's just being addicted for addiction's sake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, we can talk on this forever, but maybe it is high and mighty. Maybe it is that
maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just figure I've been through the WoW phase, so I've already gotten like my addictive gaming out of the way. But I just didn't realize it was so rampant. Like, seriously, like, three people pulled out their phones. They're like, oh, yeah, check out my shit. I'm like, damn, dude.
Top grossing game on iTunes. And it's Indiana, buddy.
See, I would have thought, and of course on the plane ride, I'm, like, stuck next to, like, these high school kids playing Candy Crush. See, I thought Candy Crush was, like,
it's the biggest money maker. Probably second one now. Mm-hmm. It was number one until, I think, this one.
I don't know, man.
Anyway, let's stop talking about shit that sucks.
Yeah.
Let's talk about cool shit. I thought it was really cool. So in Batman Arkham City, there's a scene with Calendar Man, who I don't even know from the comics or anything, but there was something that got released on certain dates. If you play on that date, he'll say a certain thing, and it was like an Easter egg about, I think, about the next game coming out or whatever it was. But anyway, they put in one 3 years for 3 years after. So you can access it by changing your system clock to that date. But you can have him say, or he talks about, what's the new one coming out? Arkham Knight?
Is it Arkham Knight? I think it's Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
So this game, or this Easter egg, is in Arkham City, which is the second game.
Right. But it's talking about the end of the series. That Arkham Knight will be the last.
Arkham Knight is the last one?
Yeah.
They
said it in the second game. How crazy is that, huh?
Dang.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool, especially it's Calendar Man and it's time released. Really cool Easter. You know, we're getting to the point where if there is an Easter egg, it's going to be found. But the only way to keep it from being found is doing something like this where it's time released. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a nice touch. Yeah. So this next bit of news I'm excited for, E.T. cartridges. These are the E.T. Atari games.
Yeah, the ones that just got dug out of the landfill.
Yeah.
The ones from the landfill apparently are going up for at least $1,500.
So these have to be from a landfill, though, because I do have a copy of this game.
I don't know.
I got like a box of probably 50 Atari games over at my parents' house.
Wow.
And
but it's not in a box or anything. It's been used, right?
Yeah.
It's better than being in a landfill.
It's been used very little.
Wow.
I didn't play that game that much.
Yeah, that game is getting a lot of attention lately because, you know, there's a documentary coming about it just about that game called Game Over, I think.
Well, that's a really interesting story. They touch on it anytime you talk about, like, the whole video game boom in the early 80s and the rise of Atari, like, that story comes up. It's interesting stuff, but I've heard it so many times that I don't know. But they're going for that much. That's crazy. Who would have thought? They're trying to get rid of those games in the 80s. Like, they couldn't,
so much
they
so
couldn't
that
even
they,
sell them, and now they're going for a ton of money.
They actually threw them in a deep, dark ditch. Like, they didn't know what to do with all this shit. Yeah. And now, yeah, it's just a part of gaming history.
All right. Next up, PETA makes an animal oasis in Minecraft.
Oh, jeez, man. First of all, I got to give credit where credit's due. PETA is amazing at getting attention. Their PR people, you know, whether it be naked people in Times Square, whether it be saying ridiculous things, or going and doing ridiculous things, they can get press. They can, they do it a lot and they do it frequently. And this is just another thing, you know, we're talking about it. Here we are. I hate PETA, but here we are. They made a Animal Oasis. They have their own server. You can go there. You can visit it. You can find out about PETA. They have a recreation of their headquarters in there. But the server rules are you can't harm animals. So all the animals are walking around inside, indoors and stuff. And whatever. You know, they're getting attention.
I don't see a lot of Minecraft players being too interested in PETA.
Nor I.
Yeah.
This is for the headlines, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And it's like I said, their master, hey, look at me. Mm-hmm. This is going on the coattails of Microsoft picking them up for $2 billion. So they're in the news. Let's do it now, you know?
Yeah. Two things I don't care about, Minecraft and PETA.
So let's go on.
Okay. Good old games, GOG.com, is giving away a bunch of free shit. Well, not a bunch. They're giving away Mountain Blade. And also, if you go to GOG, and each day you can check a box, and if you do it for 7 times, I think you get a free copy of The Witcher. The Witcher 2, maybe? Let's see what Albert has if he scrolls down a little bit more. And they're also having a huge sale. And I've talked about GOG in the past. Oh, yeah, you got to log in. But The Witcher 2 plus the Gamer Director's Cut. I'm not sure what that is. What happened? Did we lose Albert?
No, he's there.
Okay. But, yeah, this site I've talked about before, and I really like GOG.com. I've actually started playing some of these games that I bought through them on my Mac, and they have their own middleware built in for you to be able to play these games. I've been playing Theme Park, Masters of Orion, the original Wing Commanders, just kind of messing around, not really getting into it.
So like an emulator?
Yeah, kind of like an emulator. Huh. But they assure you that these games will run on Windows 7, Windows 8, Mac. Like, it'll tell you what it will run on, and they stay true to it. And they also offer you cool shit like manuals. And they do a lot of like retro games too, a lot of the classics that I grew up with. So I appreciate that as well. This is a great place to get. The original Mountain Blade is free on GOG until November 14th. That already passed, right?
It did.
Oh, okay. Well, too late.
Should have got on
that.
I do want to talk about Mountain Blade. You still haven't played it, right? This is the one all three of us want to play that never got around to.
Yeah, everyone talks about this game. I see screenshots of it all the time. Like,
but is it Mountain Blade or is it Mountain Blade Warband?
There's two versions.
That's the one. What's the quintessential? Do you know? The one you want to play.
I don't know.
Come on, Bobby.
There is a good one, though, and we should find out which one it is, because I've heard that one of them is good and one of them sucks.
I want to bring something up real quick about Bobby. When he brings up these prices, this was this price in May and this price in September, there's no charts. This is all, like, no matter what we bring up, he knows what price at what year on what month and what sale there was this. It's amazing.
Yeah.
If you
name a game, I could probably tell you the cheapest it's ever been if you should buy. I'm basically that dude from Mad Money when it comes to Steam games.
That's what I was about to say. If you applied this to, you'd own this building, basically, if you applied it to stocks.
When I was out in Indiana, I was talking to my friend and I was explaining him the whole Steam Trades thing, and I was talking about like how games are cheaper in Russia, and you can go to steamprices.com and see how much games are. How much cheaper games are in Russia, and you can go through, like, I'm filling them with all these big ideas of getting a Russian VPN and buying shit cheap and selling.
There goes our Steam support.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. So, Can you have somebody buy it in Russia, send him money, and have him give you games?
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of people do.
I see.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a whole gray market.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
But if you get caught, then they ban your account. So there's a big risk.
Yeah, that's a huge risk, especially for you.
Oh, yeah.
But that's why $1 billion.
You create a new account, obviously, and do it through there. But yeah, I do. I mean, I think with that, combined with my encyclopedic knowledge of Steam prices, like, I don't know. I'm surprised I'm not super rich right now. Maybe if I stopped playing so many video games, then I could actually be productive with my time.
Yeah.
But that ain't going to happen.
So there's a Steam virus?
Yeah, Steam virus happening. Stoner Smurf posted something in our group about this, and this has been popping up everywhere for me. If you get like a message from somebody, and they usually have a message that says like, hey, dude, check this out, or do you want to trade this, or just something, and then it has a link.
Right.
It's a virus that looks like a picture file, like a PNG or a SCR file, and you download it, and it hijacks your Steam account, and it sends that message out to your whole friends list. And wow. I don't know if it actually steals your username and password or what, but you probably want to change that if it happens. But I have been getting so many of these. It's kind of wound down a little bit, but when this peaked, like, I was getting almost 5 of these a day from just people, random people on my friends list.
It's a good time to be offline for me.
Yeah, really.
For sure.
But I don't know, man. I don't know if Steam's going to do something about this or if they can, but you just got to follow, you know, common sense when it comes to being on the internet. You know, don't click on anything that looks kind of suspicious. I mean, the first time I saw this right away, I was just like, obvious scam, you know, obvious, like, bullshit.
If you want to get me, just label it titties. That's it. I'm going to click on it regardless.
Click here for titties.
Yeah, I have a shaky hand. No, I know. Bobby said not to click on it.
I don't know what if Steam has actually done something about it, but I feel like it's not happening as much now. But yeah, that's weird. We've never seen a virus like that on Steam or anything that rampant.
And you'd be surprised too, because, you know, that's a lot of people that take advantage of 8 million or something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge base. I remember when Left 4 Dead 2 came out, a friend of mine sent me this link, and he was like, dude, you got to do this. You can get on, like, you can get the beta. This is before the game came out. He's like, you can get the beta. It's early, early access wasn't really a phrase back then, but, you know, it was basically an early copy of it, an unfinished version. And it turned out to be a complete scam that somebody had made, like a fake website. You know, they say, hey, click here to log into Steam and register for to get in the beta. And they were just stealing a bunch of usernames and passwords.
Yeah. And what about early access? So Steam is changing their user or the rules for early access, right?
Yeah.
And we complain about this. You know, we've been complaining about early access a lot. So maybe make me happy. Did they do the right moves here?
Well, they did make some good changes, but I don't know if they're really going to enforce it. I mean, they've added new rules for early access games and...
Like what?
Let's see. Albert, can you click that link and bring that up? Let's see. It's a lot of the ones that it all makes sense. It's all the things that we wanted to see. You know, things like, you know, basically you have to have some intention of making a game. Don't launch in early access if you're already done with development.
Okay.
Don't launch in early access without a playable game. So if you don't even have a game yet, you can't be in early access.
I'm sure this shit's coming. Like, it sounds like no duh.
Yeah.
But I'm sure people were violating these things, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a few other ones, too, that make a little more sense. Like, don't launch in early access if you can't afford to develop with very few or no sales. So don't launch a game and think that, like, people have got to buy this and put money into it for development to finish. And make sure your expectations are set properly everywhere you talk about your game. I don't know, though, because this is more like guidelines and not rules.
I see what you're saying, because I don't see how they're going to verify any of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Or punish those that don't adhere to the rules.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think it's going to have any effect at all.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of lip service for a lot of people who are complaining about early access games.
Also, it could, you know, it's to shut us up directly. DL Gaming's been talking too much shit about our shit, so there we go.
They're listening.
But, you know, also legally, maybe it'll get them away from any kind of
Need
to owe anything. So it's probably a legal move.
Yep.
It sounds, when I first read it, I was like, oh, cool, they're going to put some strict guidelines. But no, this sounds more general.
Yeah. Yeah, Steam has been, or Valve has been making a lot of changes with Steam, and in addition to that, they're also changing something with the region locks. When you buy a game, there's a ROW copy, which is Rest of World, which means it works anywhere and everywhere in the world, no matter where you buy it. But you also have SEA, Southeast Asia. That game is only usable to people in certain countries. Or like the Russian one, which is just Russia, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, you know, all these different areas.
Right.
It's region locks.
Did you say Turkmenistan?
Yeah, I think that's a place.
I think you just made it up.
No, Turkmenistan.
That's right next to Kyrgyzstan.
Albert, can we get, can you bring up Turkmenistan so I can prove Amelia wrong here with my geographical wisdom? Turkmenistan.
Oh, wow.
Right there.
Where's Kyrgyzstan?
It's right next to Uzbekistan. Come on, bro.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, we've lost a Turkmenistan listener base.
Oh, geez, that's at least...
like, fuck these guys.
90% of our listener base.
But Steam or Valve has made it so publishers can no longer control the region lock. Originally, a publisher would be able to say, you know, have a say. Like, the default was no region lock. You just get an ROW copy, it works wherever. But now Valve, by default, is region locking their games. And this is going to kind of screw over a little bit of the gifting market, like with Steam trades.
The gray market we were just talking about.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't think I've really noticed much of a change, but I haven't been too active in it recently. I don't know if this is going to have an effect from games here on out. And games that have already been released are okay, or... you know, we don't know what long-term effects this is going to have for the market.
Even still, this is a gray market issue. And if you just buy Steam, it's like a straight up on Steam, it doesn't affect you in the least bit.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. If you pay full price like a sucker, then you're okay.
Gotcha.
All right. Is that it for news?
Well, not really, because I'm like, you brought up Southeast Asia or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Age Inquisition got banned in India. So I guess that's part of the region, you know, they use, for things like that, legal issues, where, you know, if you ban something, like, who bans the most? Like, Australia and Germany do it the most, right?
I don't know if they have the most, well, maybe the most banning, but definitely the most censoring.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess there's a gay scene. Speaking of which, I plan, if I ever get back on the internet, I plan on playing Dragon Age Inquisition and Far Cry 4. But, they have a gay scene.
In Dragon Age Inquisition?
Yeah, and okay. They banned it in India.
They banned the entire game over that scene?
Yeah.
See, they need to take the South Park approach where they just cover it up with, what did South Park do? Like pandas or something? Pandas crying? Or, like every time there was a scene that got censored?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Did they ban?
Yeah, Albert's I never asking heard if they, anything about that either.
What? Mass Effect?
Mass Effect in India?
Yeah, Albert's asking if they banned Mass Effect for gay romance. Yeah, I don't know, man. Some countries got a problem with dude-on-dude action.
Or lady-on-lady. No, you know what? I bet there's no problem with lady-on-lady.
You think so? You think if it was a lesbian scene, India would have been cool with it?
Could be.
I hear there are a lot more... I've never been to India, but based on... my limited knowledge, which is, I think, like an Aziz Ansari stand-up special.
Woo!
This is where this
That's
is
limited.
Coming from. he was saying that India is not as sexual as the United States, basically. Mm. Like, you don't see billboard ads where there's a lot of sex appeal
right. In
that country. But I didn't know they were so homophobic over there.
Yeah, me neither. It's the first time they popped up because of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, get with the times. It's 2014. If Bobby wants to sit on my lap right now, it might be okay. We're going to lose our India fucking people now.
Yeah, there goes India too.
Yeah,
man.
We're down to fucking three right. viewers in Indiana while they play Clash of Clans. Callback!
All right. Okay, so is that it for news?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. I don't think we have any listener questions this week.
We do have a listener giveaway.
Oh, boy.
Take it away, Vanna.
Okay. So, Chad cannot be here with us today, unfortunately. He will be back next week, giving us a scoop with all the crazy World of Warcraft stuff that's going on. But until then, we are going to be handling his giveaway.
Yeah. He's going to be mailing the shit. We've decided he's going to do one thing that isn't in the pit of despair that he created. So we took everybody that signed up. It was like six of you. We're going to do a random number generator right now. And we're going to get a winner right live on the air.
All
right. Just for you.
And we have Albert using the random number generator website. He's going to click the pick one button. Drum roll, please. Where are we shipping this?
Is that it?
Looks like Kansas.
Boom. Sights. Nice, congrats, dude. You give some of the stuff to your little boy and stuff. That'll be awesome.
Okay.
Cool.
I guess I'm going to have to give you back the...
I don't know. We could keep one. I'll talk to him. I think we should keep one.
He can have the Hoxton mask.
Oh, okay.
It's all right. Okay. So congratulations, Sights, for winning the PAX swag giveaway.
Yeah.
And so we did that at 500 members, and we are already almost at 600 members.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. When we hit 1,000 members, or I don't know, we might set a goal for our YouTube subscribers, but when we do that, we're going to buy a bunch of games and do a giveaway. We haven't worked out the details yet, but we want to start doing more of those
giveaways. On a live stream, too. We'll take two of our goals and put it in one.
Yeah.
Guys, YouTube subscribers are our number one right now, thing that we're focusing on. We have 600 members in our Steam group. It's translated to maybe 175 subscribers on YouTube. So there's a disconnect there somewhere. Maybe a lot of you are in Kyrgyzstan and don't understand any of what I'm saying. But I don't know. We could fix this.
Turkmenistan. What's the capital of Turkmenistan? Do we have that, Albert?
I'm going to say that Stan's in the name.
Ashgabat? Sounds right.
Yeah, sure.
They got a town called Mary in Turkmenistan. What's up with that?
Fabulous this time of year. Well, are we going to wrap this one up?
Are we missing anything? Besides a white dude?
Big.
Who talks a lot?
Yeah. He looks like a giant milk dud. A white milk dud.
I guess that's about it. So, you know, comment, rate, subscribe on iTunes, if you would, please. Subscribe on YouTube. And, you know, all that shit.
Yeah, fucking titties.